Well, good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight. We've finished with the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. So I want to take some time and look at the book of Proverbs for a little bit. We're not going to go through every single chapter, every single verse in great detail. We'll kind of move around throughout the book, look at some of the different topics and ideas that the book talks about. But Proverbs is a very unique book. It teaches wisdom. It's not a chronological book like Genesis, where it's telling us this event happens, and then this one, where it makes sense to go through it chronologically. It's not even exactly like a letter, like where Paul writes to the Philippians, and he's telling them how he's doing it in Rome, or talking about wanting to thank them for the gift they sent them, where he has some of those specific topics that he wants to talk about. Proverbs teaches wisdom, and so it teaches about a lot of different themes and ideas, and sometimes those ideas come up in one place, and then they come up in another place, but just by the nature of being Proverbs, they are a proverb, a short poetic statement, which typically doesn't have much detail given with it. So one proverb will mention an idea, and then another proverb will again mention the same idea and give a little more detail. Kind of makes more sense to look at those ideas together rather than trying to go chronologically through the book. So we'll look at some of the different ideas, but as we've designed Sunday nights now, as we're going through the fruit of the Spirit, we designed them to be looking at each kind of fruit and trying to understand what it is, what it actually looks like. And then we had devotions for each day to try to apply it in different areas of life, because those fruit of the Spirit are very broad. They apply in a lot of different parts of life. So be able to look each day and say, well, how does this actually apply here or in this other area of life? But as we've thought and designed about what we'll do for Sunday nights right now, as we are able to begin meeting together again, we thought, well, this might be a good time to take the time and watch these videos, again, with the family, but even if you can and have the opportunity, even perhaps meeting together with another family to help disciple each other, to build each other up, to encourage one another. And so we've designed this that we can watch the video on Sunday night with our family or perhaps with another family. And then on the sermons page on the website, we'll have a file on there, a PDF file that just has some discussion topics, some ideas that if you watch through a video and want to talk about it with your family, discuss it, or discuss with another family to, again, build each other up, encourage one another in the faith, here are some discussion topics, things that can be talked about based on the passage that we've looked at. But we've designed it that we'll just have that available on the website. We won't be sending out a devotional each day with it. But if we begin to look at Proverbs, we'll start tonight by looking in chapter 1, and we'll just kind of look at the introduction, see what is this book, why is it here, what is it about, what things do we need to keep in mind as we're studying it. So if we start in Proverbs 1, we'll read through verses 1 through 7. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Told a couple of things right up front. We're told that Solomon wrote much of the book of Proverbs. He's introduced as the author here in the beginning and mentioned a couple other times throughout the book of being the Proverbs of Solomon. But there are a few smaller sections in the book that are attributed to someone else as well. A couple other authors are briefly named. And that shouldn't surprise us. Proverbs is similar to Psalms in that regard. We often think of the Psalms of David, and David did write many of them, but sometimes a psalm is attributed to Moses or to Asaph, or even Psalm 72 is attributed to Solomon. And so there are other authors of some of the psalms, and then they're compiled together into the book. Well, that's much like Proverbs is. Proverbs is, much of it is written by Solomon, and then some is attributed to a few others as well. And as I was thinking about that, I realized, well, Pastor Jeremy is going through Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon. I'll look at Proverbs here. And so if as we go through it, I'm not going through every single verse. If you have a question on Proverbs, you're welcome to come and talk with me about it. You can always ask Pastor Jeremy on Ecclesiastes, and then anything else that Solomon wrote, I guess you can ask Pastor Shad and see what he says about it. But as we look at Proverbs here, it is written by Solomon, and it does have a stated purpose as well. Right in verse 2, right as he introduced it, Solomon said that he's writing to know wisdom and instruction. He's trying to teach us and give us wisdom and instruction. And so we'll look at what wisdom is, but by its very nature, wisdom, we have to study it a little bit differently than we might study some of the other books of the Bible. Because of what wisdom is, there's a couple things we have to keep in mind as we study through it. So let's start actually by defining a couple things. A proverb, the book of Proverbs has many short proverbs within it. Proverb is a short poetic statement of wisdom. It's usually written in the form of Hebrew poetry, and so it's just going to be a short statement that gives wisdom, but it doesn't give a whole lot of detail. And then there are many of those short proverbs within the book, and so we have the book of Proverbs. Well, if we want to define wisdom, briefly defined, is wisdom is knowing how to apply knowledge in how we live our lives. Or to say it another way, wisdom is knowing how, when, and where to use knowledge. Knowledge is a part of wisdom, but it's not all of it. And we'll expand on a definition of biblical wisdom a little bit later. But basically, basic wisdom is knowing how, when, and where to apply knowledge. We have to know something first, but then we have to know how to use what we know. Basic illustration of the difference between knowledge and wisdom that someone has given is that knowledge says tomato is a fruit, but wisdom says you don't put a tomato in a fruit salad. And then philosophy wonders if that makes ketchup a fruit smoothie, which we won't get too much into philosophy. We'll talk about wisdom and knowledge. But knowledge says a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom says you don't put it in a fruit salad. Just because you know this, you need to know how to actually use that knowledge. And so since Proverbs teaches us how, when, and where to apply knowledge, it's naturally going to teach us things that are not applicable in every situation of life. By its very nature, Proverbs is going to teach general principles, not universal laws and commands. And along with that, it's going to teach general results, not give universal promises. Okay, they're not universal commands that apply in every single situation. And so the results given are also not universal promises that will always come to pass. They're general statements of truth, general statements of wisdom. Now, certainly some things in Proverbs are universally true. Proverbs 19:21, which we'll probably look at next week, but it tells us the Lord's purposes will stand. Well, that is always true. That's universally true. The Lord's purposes will stand. No one can stop the Lord from accomplishing his purposes. No one can stop the Lord from doing the things he's determined to do. But many of the Proverbs are proverbial statements. They apply in certain situations. Let's look at a couple different examples, illustrations of what this looks like, because not every proverb applies to every situation in life. Let's turn to Proverbs 26. We'll jump around and look at a few examples within Proverbs and then a few biblical examples as well. But Proverbs 26, and it said, wisdom is knowing how, when, and where to apply knowledge, and actually how, when, and where to apply the wisdom that we have as well. Because if wisdom is applied wrongly, it's not helpful. And that's pointed out here in Proverbs 26:7. It says, like a lame man's legs, which hang useless, is a proverb in the mouth of fools. It says, a proverb, even wisdom, even knowledge of a statement of wisdom with a fool is useless. He has the knowledge, he knows what the proverb says, but he doesn't know how and when and where to apply it. And so it's still useless. So wisdom is not just having the knowledge, it's knowing how, when, and where to actually use it, because there are times where even a proverb, even some of the wisdom that's given, doesn't apply in a given situation. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 3. As we turn there, consider Job and his friends. Job has all those difficult things happen to him. He loses many of his riches. Many of his animals are stolen or killed. His children are killed. And then he has a great disease, a very painful disease. He's facing all these difficulties. And then his friends, I use that term rather loosely, come to comfort him. And I also use the term comfort very loosely because they weren't much comfort. Because they come to him basically with the idea to say, well, things this bad don't happen to good people who are faithful to God. And so they look at Job and say, well, Job, you claim to follow God, but clearly if these bad things happen to you, you must have some great secret sin that God is punishing you for. So you need to repent of your sin so that you can be healed. But yet the reality was they were wrong. The reality was Job didn't have some great secret sin that directly caused his difficulties. Well, here in Proverbs 3, verses 7 to 8. Now, Job likely lived around the time of Abraham, so he actually lives a long time before Proverbs is written. So he doesn't have this book, but Proverbs 3, 7 to 8 are verses that if they'd had the book of Proverbs in their day, Job's friends probably would have said to him. Proverbs 3, 7 to 8 says, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." Those are the kinds of things Job's friends would say. They'd say to Job, don't be wise in your own eyes. Listen to other wisdom. They'd say, fear the Lord. They'd say, turn away from evil. You have a great secret sin that's caused these problems. Turn away from evil, and it'll be healing to your flesh. It'll be refreshment to your bones. The problem is, his friends were wrong in the first place about the cause of his difficulties. And so if they tried to take this kind of wisdom and say, well, you need to fear the Lord and turn from evil, which are good things to do. We should fear the Lord when we have sinned. We should turn from evil. But if they take this proverb and try to apply it to Job's situation, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. It doesn't apply to his situation because it is true, and it would be true, and it would apply when a person is facing difficulty for sin, or even just when they've sinned, even if they're not facing a great difficulty and health problems because of sin. It is always good to listen to God's wisdom, not just be wise in our own eyes. It's always good to fear the Lord, to turn from evil. It does apply there, but in Job's specific situation, he was going through those difficulties for a different reason. He was not going through those difficulties because of great secret sin, and so this particular proverb doesn't apply in his particular situation. And so we need to keep that in mind as we study through Proverbs. Not every single proverb applies to every single situation of life. And along with that, very often the results that are given are general results. Generally, these results can happen, will happen, but they're not universal promises. Turn to chapter 10. Again, we'll look at an example of this in Proverbs and then think about a biblical example. But in Proverbs 10, there's a couple statements made or kinds of people mentioned and the results that are given. Proverbs 10:1. The Proverbs of Solomon, again, saying it's from Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. So it talks about a son, a wise son, a foolish son, and then it mentions a couple results. A glad father if he has a wise son, or sorrow to his mother if the son is foolish. Okay? Generally, those are the results. Generally, a father is glad if his son is wise. Generally, a mother is sorrowful if her son is foolish. But there could be a time, perhaps, the mother herself is also foolish. Perhaps she's foolish, wise in her own eyes, thinking she's wise, but she is actually foolish, and her son comes out like her. And again, he's wise in his own eyes, but he's actually foolish. Well, she sees him, he is foolish, but she doesn't acknowledge that. She's actually not sad when she does, in fact, have a foolish son, right? So they're general results. They're not universal promises. And if we think about a biblical example, think about the account of Joseph in Genesis, and think about Proverbs 6 and 7, which we won't take the time to read. You can read through those later if you want to. But Proverbs 6 and 7, the father gives his son some very strong warnings against adultery, against the dangers of adultery, the terrible consequences that can come from adultery, saying even that someone who commits adultery lacks sense, he's senseless, he's foolish, warning about those things. Then chapter 7, warning about what the adulterous woman is like and how she tries to seduce and tempt someone into adultery, but then it leads to that person's destruction. but then consider Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Now, again, Joseph lives before Proverbs is written. He doesn't have Proverbs 6 and 7, but he actually responds to that temptation just as the father calls the son to do in Proverbs 6 and 7. Proverbs 6 and 7, the father calls on the son to turn away from that temptation, to not give in to adultery. That's exactly what Joseph does. And yet Joseph still faces difficult consequences, difficult times when Potiphar's wife lies about him and he's thrown into prison. Now, of course, God's in control, and in the bigger picture, in the bigger situation, taking a longer view of his life, God uses that for good. And God accomplishes his purposes, just as he always does. And in the end, Joseph did have good results after he was faithful to God in doing what's right. But immediately, in the immediate time, even when Joseph does right, obeys God, rejects the temptation to adultery, he faces difficult consequences. And so as we read through Proverbs, we need to remember the wisdom of Proverbs doesn't apply to every single situation in life. They're proverbial statements. We have to know how, when, where to apply them. And then the given results are not universal promises. They are generally true, but it's not a universal promise every single time. Okay, so let's turn back to Proverbs 1. A couple things to keep in mind, but let's just briefly as well consider one of the ideas here in Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon had said in verse 2, his purpose is to teach wisdom and instruction. That's the whole purpose of his book. He wants us to have wisdom and instruction. You know, he wants us to know how to live our lives. He wants us to know, to have the instruction, and then know how, when, and where to apply that instruction in our everyday lives. Well, what's the beginning of that? What's the foundation of the true wisdom and instruction that we need? Well, it's in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The beginning of knowledge, the foundation of knowledge and then wisdom is the fear of the Lord. We have to have a proper view of God. We have to have a proper view of who God is and what he said in order to have true biblical wisdom and knowledge. And here I'll expand on that definition of wisdom a little bit. Generally, wisdom is knowing how, when, and where to use knowledge. Well, biblical wisdom we can define as teaching us how to live life today in preparation for eternity. As we have biblical knowledge, how, when, where do we apply that biblical knowledge to our lives today to prepare us for eternity? When we look at biblical knowledge and wisdom, we're not simply looking at everyday life to have secular wisdom that might say, well, if you know this about finances and stocks, now is when you should buy, now is when you should sell. Or to know about nutrition and exercise, to know how you should eat and how you should exercise to be healthy. That is secular wisdom. It does teach us how to live life, how, when, and where to apply knowledge, but it only helps us in our lives today. It doesn't prepare us for eternity. Biblical knowledge, biblical wisdom, teaches us how to live today in preparation for eternity. And in doing that, the very foundation, the very beginning of that is the fear of the Lord. It's the fear of the Lord, a proper view of the Lord, a proper view of who God is, and then if we properly view God and fear him and respect him and reverence him, we're going to listen to what he says. And so it begins with the fear of the Lord, and as we fear the Lord, we listen to what he says. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 1. Come back here quickly, perhaps to Proverbs 1, but Romans chapter 1, the last other passage that we'll turn to, and see a contrast with this. Because we're told the beginning of knowledge is fear of the Lord, but then the end of Proverbs 1:7 says that fools despise wisdom and instruction. Foolish people don't listen to that. And think of Proverbs chapter 1. We won't read through all of it, but we're told God has revealed himself in nature, in creation. We know that God exists. We know that God is powerful. But yet people having that general revelation of God, where they can see that God exists, they can see that God is powerful, they choose to go another way. They choose to reject that knowledge of God. They don't fear the Lord, so they don't have a proper knowledge of God. They try to go another way. And then what happens? Romans 1, 22 to 23. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. They reject the knowledge of God. They don't fear God the way that they should. And so they reject what he said. they claim to be wise. They're wise in their own eyes. They think they are wise. And God says they're actually foolish. And there's much secular wisdom in the world today that rejects the knowledge of God, rejects the wisdom of God, and claims to be wise in itself, but they've started with the wrong foundation because they refuse to fear the Lord. And then the sad result in verse 23, they exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. They worship other false gods, and so they're not prepared for eternity. They worship false gods. They reject the true God. They refuse to fear him. They refuse to acknowledge who God is, seeing and having a proper view of God, that God is holy, that God is sinless, that God is just. God will punish sin. They reject that, and they reject the message of the gospel and the salvation that Christ has provided, and so they're not prepared for eternity. They're wise in their own eyes, but by rejecting the knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord, they're headed for an eternity apart from God. Back in Proverbs chapter 1, the contrast to that, instead of despising the Lord's wisdom and instruction, we should fear the Lord. The beginning, the foundation of knowledge and then of wisdom is fearing the Lord. Having a proper view of who God is, and as we learn who God is, we listen to and we follow his word in the things that he said. And so a proper view of the Lord, that the Lord is holy, that he is sinless, that he is just, he won't punish sin, but that he loves us, he's merciful, he's provided salvation by sending Christ to die for us, to rise from the dead, to provide salvation for us. It starts with the gospel, but then even as a believer, once we have received that salvation that God's given to us, as we continue in the fear of the Lord, how do we live day to day? As we learn God's word, we fear him, so we want to listen to what he said. He's given us his word, the Bible. How do we take his Bible and apply it to our everyday lives as we look ahead to eternity with him? That's where we need wisdom. And that's where Proverbs, and much of Scripture as well, but that's where Proverbs teaches us that wisdom that is going to prepare us for eternity. It's going to tell us how to live today, looking ahead to eternity with a proper view of God. The whole book of Proverbs, all the wisdom that we receive from God through this book begins with having a right view of God, having a fear of him. Now as we learn of him, now as we seek to follow him, we should receive the instruction, the truth, and the wisdom that he gives to us. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you that you have given us your wisdom, that you've given us your truth, that you've given us the instruction that we need for life. Lord, I pray that you would help us to humble ourselves before you, that we would listen to your instruction, that we would listen to your truth, that we would listen to your wisdom. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn of you and to grow in you, and that we would submit ourselves to your truth, that even when we don't fully understand something, or even when in our minds our own wisdom would want to take us a different direction, Lord, please help us to listen to your wisdom and listen to the truth that you've given to us. Lord, please help us to develop and learn a right view of who you are and where we stand before you. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us to fear you and to follow and honor and obey you as you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen.